This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX. Still more ghosts in the machine, as you can tell. That's fine. You get a new board. Things are going to happen like this. We're all kind of figuring it out. And the mics work. Sue, does yours work?
Hey.
Yeah, hi. Hey.
Sue's on.
Hi.
Nice.
I made a really nice quiche this afternoon. Ooh, I wanted to tell you
what'd
all
you put
this.
In there?
All right. Here's what I did. Mushroom, spinach,
out.
Onion, and then I thought tonight I would just put bacon on the side. Like, that'll be the side
it's
dish.
A perfect quiche.
Thank you for that. And I tried it all butter crust because I'm trying to avoid...
Literally?
Well, no. There is flour in it.
But I mean,
opposed to Crisco. Crisco gives you a nice flaky crust, Dave.
Yes.
But butter gives you the flavor. And
it
so I went
like
all
butter.
For butter. It really does taste like butter. So that's, and then I thought maybe I should taste it just to see how it turned out. I could have put my face in there and eat the whole thing.
Nice.
I can't wait for dinner. Don't you hate that?
Yeah, I grew up with Crisco. Crisco was for when my dad got diabetes. But before that, it was bacon grease in a mason jar.
Oh my goodness.
And just lard.
Wow.
Just good old fashioned lard. One of the most satisfying things, you know how on TikTok, they'll be doing a video about something and then you have another video going where someone's shaving a Pringle or something, whatever. Mm-hmm. When I worked at Mr. Donut, we had the fryer and I had to turn the fryer on and the fryer gets going, but the fryer is about 4 inches low and you had these big boxes of pure fat. And here's what you do. You take this gigantic metal scooper and you would stick it in the hot grease. Then you'd stick that into the cold lard. Oh. And then you would put it into the hot grease and watch it just evaporate.
Whoa.
And it was so satisfying.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. That would be a good TikTok. I don't even have it, and I know that.
Like, if that were your job, like, you know, loading the coal into a train, like, if you were just powering a train with lard, I could have done that job and retired with a gold watch. It was so satisfying.
What's that train running on? Lard.
Lard. It's a lard train.
The other day, Sue, Dave said it was one of his dream jobs to shovel the coal
it
in
is.
A train.
Well, I'm not surprised, Rachel.
It is. I just gravitate to the simple, you know?
Yeah, I guess that's it. I recall the phase, though, where you would just go home and watch train videos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's still going.
Oh, it is?
Oh,
watching
yeah.
them
Mighty
go
trains.
Through, like, pretty country.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, there's something relaxing about that. I'm not sure shoveling coal would have the same effect.
I'm sure I'd get tired of it pretty quick, but, like, this job is so complicated and... complicated.
Yeah.
So many moving parts to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I see, like, the guy who is the postmaster on the island and he has a train and he just does a big loop to the 14 people who live on the island, like, yes. Yes.
And there's something satisfying and, I don't know, grounding about doing something that's manual labor. Something where you actually have to
For
work.
Sure. Yeah.
So I think that would be beneficial, probably.
So the way that I loved the physicality of putting the grease into the fryer at Mr. Donut, not what was your favorite old part-time job, but is there anything like that, that you did something that you're like, I actually kind of enjoy putting clothes on hangers and hanging them up, or, you know, something like that?
I 1 year worked for the summer for the Kirkwood School District being a painter. We painted all this stuff outside. It was just three of us. It was three girls, I guess, at the time. And we just painted.
What did you, like, for example, what were you painting?
Okay, when you pull up to, well, it's kind of built in the 60s. So outdoor walkways that had metal roofs on them. Okay. I don't know else. You know, just outdoor walkways.
Like big giant awnings.
Well, yeah, awnings or whatever, except they were metal. So we just got up there and they were dirty and crusty and we just painted them and they were bright white. So we were up on scaffolding and we would change the radio station based on, you know, one of us wanted Keishi, one of us wanted Magic 108, and there was something satisfying. And then you'd move to the next one, and it would be crappy in front of you and really beautiful behind you. Yeah. And it was just paint,
satisfying.
paint. Yeah.
Satisfying. Mm-hmm. I get it. What was your station? What did you pick usually?
I went both. I liked Magic a lot. Mm-hmm. But then I could like Keishi too. And then somebody was in the middle with like a, it was KSLQ, I guess, at the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Old school radio, man.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wheels got one of those?
I did. I liked being a grounds crew guy at a baseball facility.
Ooh, I can see you doing that.
I loved so much. So there, it was a big facility, maybe big by the standards of the 90s. It was probably eight fields, but like four were just dirt infield softball fields. Those were boring. You just dragged the dirt.
Are you like, what
in the lines?
Oh.
But like there was one field, the main field, the field number one was the big college field where my college summer ball team played. So you would put the chalk lines down. You were doing the mound. Like we would repair the divots in the mound, the holes that happen around home plate in the batter's boxes. We would fix those all up real nice. That part was the fun because that was a challenge. Like it's not easy to do that with limited tools. Like major league teams have all these great materials and tools and all that, but we would get it so that at the beginning of every day, so the first game, it would be absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, that's cool.
Like cut out the
about
edge
fixing,
the grass to get it just right.
Stuff up.
Yeah.
I'm better at dicking it up, but I mean like
you know, cutting a pattern in the outfield grass was always fun.
I did a little painting myself one summer, and you're right. That was really satisfying.
Yes, there's something about it.
I was a bit of a sloppy painter, though,
I might
surmise. Rach, you got one?
I mean, honestly, I like all sorts of like housework. Once I get started, the idea of it is like, I'm not like, oh, I can't wait to wash those dishes. But once I start, I do enjoy myself. So, I mean, basically anything.
Are you
like
a daily cleaner or a weekly cleaner?
Weekly, probably. Yeah, not. I used to be a daily cleaner. I've kind of fallen off. But no, I
got your own show now.
I totally get that.
Yes. I'm too busy being on the airwaves.
Andrew, you got a Woody story or anything?
Nah, I like this job. You know what I mean? I didn't.
Oh, boy.
Well, I'm not just saying that. I didn't like really any of the jobs that I had. Like,
no,
before.
There
was no like job that I could pick out where I was like, oh man, that was so great. Like, you know, I only had like a couple. You know what I mean?
And did you ever do like real physical labor?
Yeah,
yeah. I did some concrete work over a summer.
Which
was terrible, and
was
I
that
hated
during
it.
Your euphomium days?
Yeah, it was during the.
So
euphomium
you were all
days.
Ripped and
I was like 18 or 19, and I would just. Smashing it up and hauling it around. And
oh, dang.
Carrying it very short distances.
That got Sue Thomas.
Because I refused to carry it too many, too far.
Was that when you had your hair down to your butt?
No, that was when I was like five.
Yeah. Come on, Dave.
I couldn't.
Wheels, do you know this story that he got that kicked out of a pool because they thought he was a little girl?
Yeah.
And he wasn't wearing a bikini top.
Yeah, because he had the long hair.
Yeah.
Didn't he show us a picture?
I was a pretty little girl. Yeah, I've got pictures of it.
Yeah.
He makes me look at him.
I don't like that story.
I took him to breakfast today, and he's like, well, I want to thank you by showing you some photos. I'm like,
I'm going to show you the prettiest little girl you've ever seen.
I don't want that for me. That guy thought that Ranji was a little girl.
Tell her she's pretty.
He looked
pretty.
Like a little girl.
Man, pretty enough to be a girl.
Do you ever look like Pippi Longstockings?
Me?
Yeah.
Who's Pippi Longstockings?
What?
Oh, come on.
Come on,
Ginger, you don't know who Pippi Longstockings is?
I thought that was a made-up name that
picture,
people just joked about.
Picture Wendy from Wendy's, and then it's just that.
Oh.
Well, that's hair is more
pretty
messed
much
up.
It.
Yeah, but she's a little more of a tomboy than Wendy from Wendy's. Although we don't know that much about Wendy.
I see. Yeah, no, I never had hair long enough to do that.
What was your longest hair? When you had the mohawk?
I had in the 90s at some point. It had grown out, and I straightened it. Well, had someone else straighten it, and it was probably like hanging like maybe chin length.
Like Prince, not
in the front. It was kind of more like the. It has the 90s grungy look kind
of
thing.
Yeah, I'm going to need a photo.
It was
kind of
that. Let me see. I don't think I have
you
one.
You always have
I might have one.
He's got some.
I've got one of me with blonde hair.
No. I want to see the long thing you're talking about.
I'll see if I can find it.
Okay, thank you.
Could take a minute, though.
It's okay.
All right.
We have like 3-4 hours.
Yeah, we're good. Take your time.
I got nothing planned.
Take your time.
Question in our show prep says, what would you do if you woke up tomorrow and it was the year 2005 and all this had been a dream? The number one answer is breathe a huge sigh of relief and do absolutely everything differently.
Wow.
See, am I the only one who feels like overwhelmed by the thought of reliving all of that life?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to sound morbid.
I would take it if I knew that all the stuff that happened in my dream wasn't going to happen. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to live the same 20 years.
Right.
But if I had a shot at it, and because I've had dreams like that. Most dreams are like that. You wake up and you're like, ooh, wow, that felt so real. Mm-hmm. That if you woke up and it was 2005 and none of this stuff had happened and Donald Trump was never president and, you know.
Wow. I have to try to remember what I was doing in 2005. I have a hard time with that. I still think the 80s weren't that long ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So 2005, where was I? Yeah, if you got a do-over, okay.
That would mean I dreamt my entire time in St. Louis.
Yeah, there you go.
I dreamt 18 years.
That's weird.
I'd be waking up in suburban Chicago going, that was weird. Suddenly, I want to go see the Arch.
Toasted ravioli. I knew that sounded ridiculous.
I need to go to a Cardinals game, man.
I don't know. I was 14, and I don't want to go back to being 14 years old.
Well, I understand
my,
how
my
that
answer
would
to what I do is I would go to school, I guess.
Man, you are you are fascinating today.
Hop in the back of the car. And
I like this job, Dave. I think I'd just go to school, Dave.
I think I'd just go to school. I barely had any other jobs besides this one, you know? They were all dumb.
I found you young.
Yeah.
I pulled you green. Yeah.
They were all dumb. I mean, Woody's was delicious. Let's just say Woody's was delicious chicken. Everything else sucked.
It was
sucked.
A chicken restaurant for the listeners out there who don't know.
Yes, it was a
Are you trying not
chicken.
To be shady? I can't tell what you're doing right now.
Oh, I'm being very shady. Everything about that working there was horrible except for
eating chicken?
Yeah, the people were absolutely horrible. It was a family, and so there was just nonstop family problems and drama and bickering and everything else. And
was there a Woody?
I believe it was the last name of the family. It was similar
you
to
believe
Woody.
Believe that?
I'm not 100% sure. I only worked there for like 6 months.
You got real close with them.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They didn't care for me. I didn't care for them. I would get mad when the kids would come in making a bunch of noise and throwing fits and making fights, and they'd all just argue and bicker with each other. And
that's why
I was like one of the only two non-family people that worked there. And the other one had worked there for like 50 years and was beloved and was basically part of the family.
I was working at Mr. Donut, and the guy that owned it came in, and he was like, hey, Muffy, let's go hit a few golf balls. You know, he was like Mr. Alton Country Club. He was an a-hole. And I got nervous, and I dropped a whole tray of donuts on the floor.
Oh!
So I'm, as quickly as I can, throwing them in the trash, and he dresses me down. And he's like, you pull those out of the trash, and you put those back in, and you sell those. This is the way I put my kids through private school.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Mm. Right?
Be on the phone, be like, let's call the health department.
To be clear, nothing like that ever happened at Woody's. It was a great restaurant.
Thanks for throwing me on the bus on that one.
I'm just saying, I don't want to give the impression.
You gave me strength to finally tell the truth about the owner of Mr. Donut, and you're like, now, to be clear.
They weren't like that there.
The Woodson family were nothing like this.
I just didn't like them.
I'm having a Werther's.
Oh, boy.
Original.
Where'd you find that?
I don't know if you know this, but I do pretty well, Sue.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Huh. Best office.
Show is that off. The new tagline for Werther's? The sign you're doing well.
Sign you're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
When you... want to show that you've made it in life. When you can buy more than just a generic butterscotch. Is there a Werther's non-original? Is there an upgraded Werther's?
I don't think there is. They don't seem to have varied it too much.
No.
From the formula.
Do you want a taste?
No, because I'm non-sugar. I'm just living through
it. Because you haven't killed it yet?
Correct.
I wonder if they make a Werther's level yet.
Yes.
Do you think they make a Werther's no sugar? Like a sugar substitute?
I'm on their website right now. They have a sugar-free caramel.
Really?
Caramel chocolate.
Do you say caramel all coffee. The time, or do you sometimes say caramel?
I kind of go back and forth.
Yeah.
But when it's right in front of me and it's C-A-R-A-M-E-L,
yeah, I feel
you got to say caramel.
I like to say caramel.
Plus it's Werther's, Rachel. I get.
We should try to get that started.
Caramel. Wheeler's caramel. Come
caramels.
Get it. Caramel apples.
I like to say lemonade sometimes.
Dude, I'm all seriousness. I do that all the time. I just take
normal words
and I think of them in my head and say them in weird ways.
Microwave. Remember when
they That is hilarious.
That's the best. I think it's, you know, it started with Christmas Story for me, like Fragile.
That's what it came from.
I'm sure it started with that.
It's Italian.
Yeah.
Like, I've told the story before, but I was so sad. Nick was about 14 when he realized that breakfast was not pronounced brefix, because we just never corrected him because it was so friggin' cute. And he'd be like, what's for breakfast, Dad? I'm like, oh, anything you want. But then it made him stupid because he...
Yeah.
Everyone was like, that poor kid.
He can't even say breakfast.
You're going to need to hold him back again. He still can't say breakfast. I'm like, yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
Sometimes, though, when little kids get things wrong, it's the best.
Do you know the story about Nibe?
No.
Oh, I love this story. So when Nick was in grade school, probably about fifth or sixth grade, he went to the college school, and it's all experiential. Like, they learned math by building a creek, and I'm not making that up. Like, it's all experiential, very outdoorsy. And they decided for a whole semester to learn about money and economics by creating businesses that they then marketed to each other. And they had real, like, wampum, you know, that they would trade back and forth and they would barter and stuff. And so Nick and I hatched Nibe, where he would sell items that I provided to him from the prize closet at the radio station. And at first they were like, well, this isn't quite right. And Nick was like, well, you said it could be anything we wanted, and I have resources with my dad. And they're like, okay. And so I would get him those giant 1 pound Hershey's bars.
Oh, yeah.
And VHS tapes, you know, of movies. And, you know, here's Beethoven the Third. And he became a trillionaire.
Wow.
And he cornered the market, and he had like this palace of a home that he made all the kids build for him because they all wanted, they had Hershey addictions, and the whole thing lasted 2 weeks. They had to shut it down.
Oh my.
Because he had cornered all the money.
He became Elon.
He became Elon Musk.
Wow.
Wow.
But I mean, they learned a valuable lesson, I think.
Would he go back to that school? In other words, like,
he loved it.
I was going to say, did he feel like he got, not that he's not a trillionaire and would ever want to take that back, but his math basis, if you say they're learning it about a creek by building a creek, does he feel good about that? Is he like, yes, I've got it?
Yeah, I don't know how great he feels about his math skills, but I know he feels really positive about the school.
Okay, that says something.
And then here's another quick story that I'll tell. In third grade, he won the math award for his class. And it was based on one test, you know, a comprehension, and he aced it, and he won. And he got a medal, which he recently gave me, that I'm going to make a necklace out of. And it was like a year ago, he confessed to me that they had a kid that was a genius that was shadowing him for the day,
and he just copied
off his test.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? And won the math award. So he finally fessed up.
I mean, but which one of those things is more like real life?
Cheating.
That's what all the rich people do. They're like, math, who needs math? I've got an accountant.
Cheating in Nibe. That was his academic career.
Wow.
He's getting a line into how the real world works.
Oh, those teachers just hated me.
Yeah.
Just hated me. Yeah. Oh. Because I was screwing up their system with all the 1 pound Hershey bars.
Remember when they said you can't use calculators when we were in school because you'll never be able to use it.
Yeah, except now there's one
except
in your pocket.
You have it on your phone. I mean, they're everywhere.
Can I tell you the only thing I ever did with my calculator was learn how to spell hell? when you turned it upside down.
Yeah. Wait, you didn't do the one that was boobless? For Dolly Parton in a car accident.
You are blowing my mind right now.
Oh, yeah.
Give me a calculator.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 234. Sue is here, Sue at 2 from down the hall at 97.1. George Mahey's here, food and wine editor from St. Louis Magazine. I'm so glad to see you walk in. Not just because I love you, but because I am not ready for the show today. Can I make a confession? I really thought yesterday was Friday. And
I have been there.
Did you think I was late?
Yeah, I just saw you. George is drunk. He's somewhere.
It's entirely
but
possible.
I have this little tradition where I don't take my notebook home on Friday. I'm just like, hey, that's a Monday problem. And so I realized last night that it was indeed Thursday, and I didn't even have my notebook to like do show prep. So I'm thin today. A little thin.
Well, I'm fat, so we're good. We're good.
So Spaghetti Wars. I have not even heard about this. This is exciting.
Yeah, this is something that has been this is Pepe Kem, who is the creator. And Pepe, for those who don't know him, is the chef and owner of Pino, which is a Southern Italian soul food restaurant in Clayton, and he's probably opened a dozen restaurants in town, and he's this kind of wild man, maverick. I mean, he's just, you know, unfiltered, and, you know, he goes, you know, you have your James Beard Awards. He goes, I want the Black Beard Award, and that's the you know, he goes, and Pino's my little pirate ship, and he's like this wild, swashbuckling, unfiltered guy that's just loads of fun, and, you know, he has a lot of ideas, and I go, yeah, right, Pepe, and he goes, I'm doing a TV show. I really want to do that. I've got this thing all sketched out. This is 3 years ago. It came to pass, and it's being filmed
good
in St. Louis this week, a 4-day film shoot. And he caught the attention of a producer named Barry Mendelson. I encourage everybody listening to look this dude up. I mean, he is unbelievable how dynamic an individual he is and all the stuff that he's done. Kevin, you'd appreciate this guy. He was a color commentator for the New York Giants. He was a play-by-play announcer for the Jets, vice president of the Boston Celtics basketball team. You might have heard of them. General manager of the New Orleans Jets. I mean, this guy's done a lot of stuff, and he's produced 300 TV shows.
Jeez.
And this is 301, I guess.
What is the premise of the show? I saw some of this morning, but it was on mute.
So it's a cooking show, but Pepe is a Sicilian, and it's this kind of Italian-themed kind of thing. And I think the tagline is, you get made, you know, you get made or you get whacked. That's the Italian part of it. I don't know how long that'll last, but anyway, that's the premise of it. And you've got two kind of competing, basically Italian families that are assisted by some celebrity folks that have been brought in. And a couple of these guys are known, and I've signed an NDA, so I can't say. I don't know what I can say and what I can't. So
you can tell us.
You can say it all.
Where's that bourbon bottle to help me along? No, but anyway, the premise of it is it's a competition, and okay. They're going to go to different, the idea is to take this, that there was a winner, or there will be a winner crowned here, and those folks will go, I think they'll maybe go to Kansas City and do two other families. Anyway, if they can get this sold, the idea is to bring the championship back. This is the, quote, Midwest regional of this.
So is this restaurant versus restaurant?
No, it's just it's a group of, some of them are restaurant-based, but it's I don't know how they're assembling these folks. Some of them are just like Italian families, and I think some of them are restaurants. But, you know, the idea is to have, you know, really strong Italian personalities, gotcha. And there's definitely some screaming and shouting going on here. But the cool thing about it is, again, this Mendelsohn guy was attracted, and it's on his nickel. It's not, you know, a lot of these shows you have this idea and you go to Netflix or you go to whomever, you
send
go to
us a spec.
Yeah. And you know, you go and begging for money, basically. Here's our idea. You know, if you like it, we need $1 million to make the pilot. Well, the pilot's been financed and produced, and it's going to be ready to go. So Mr. Mendelsohn's just going to go into Netflix and say, I'm not asking for a thing. Here's my finished product. Are you interested or not? And if not, I move on to the next guy. And he said it's a very unusual way of, and a very attractive way of presenting something. And he said, this is how I do it. I've done 300 television shows, and I own every one of them. And this one I will own, too.
So is Mr. Kim the star?
He is part of the production. There's a few St. Louisans that are in the production, and it's just you know, I've been keeping tabs with Pepe, who's just over the moon. Obviously, this is something that he's never thought would happen, and it's a $1 million production. 60-person crew is in town for a 4-day film shoot, and I was down there hanging out, and it's unbelievable. And like I said, some of these guys coming in from out of town said, "Gee, this is a real deal. This is like a movie set."
Okay, well, here's what I saw. George, they were in Viviano's this morning. They had shut down the grocery store, and they had tables lined up, beautifully set for a meal, I guess.
Yeah, the meal was last night. That was the crazy part about it. John Viviano said, hey, Pepe, you grew up here. You used to come in here when you were a kid. I remember all this. This is what, you know, I'm offering up my place for you. And they took all the groceries that were in Viviano's and moved them into the back rooms where the, again, where the families could, quote, shop for their goods to you know, for the dishes they're creating. Anyway, in the place of all the shelves is seating for 100 people where they had a 100-person dinner. And, you know, in the middle of Viviano, where normally is Viviano's, and that was the deal, and I suppose there was someone was the winner last night. There's another competition today, and filming ends on Saturday. But what a great thing, and really the coolest thing about it is this only happened because of the Missouri State
tax credits,
which have been a long time coming.
I've never seen those things. I mean, I know that they work, but I've never seen an example.
And this is a perfect example because Mendelsohn said this wasn't going to happen here. Our first meeting was in New Orleans, which has unbelievably good tax credits. He goes, well, you guys do too now, fairly recently. And, you know, the idea is to film another episode in Kansas City and one in Columbia, perhaps, just to use the Missouri State tax credits.
I think that came in last year because I know Ranjan, Amy, and I, when we were doing the show, we had somebody on who was working to get that done, and obviously they did.
Well, and it did. It just happened. And if you remember, Kim Tucci, co-founder of the Pasta House, it was his. He kind of spearheaded this a long, long time ago. And Kim has passed on. Kim is Pepe's cousin, I think, and his mentor. I mean, this whole thing just has come full circle, and it's this very sweet story.
It's about as St. Louis Italian as you get.
Yeah. It is. It is. It's filmed on the hill, and according to Pepe, he said the everything has been more than what he expected and more than what the directors expected. Everything, you know how these things, you're throwing all these people and this could be a bust or it could be really cool, but apparently it's a cool thing. And Mendelsohn said these cooking shows are popular all over the world. He goes, I see this as a worldwide thing. And he goes, if it's up to me, he goes, this has legs to go 10 years with, you know, 6 or 7 episodes a year in different locales.
Once those things catch on.
And how about that?
I mean,
I just think, I'm so glad to see it for St. Louis. And again, this will be the impetus for maybe more of these kind of things. If this thing's a success, go, hey, St. Louis is pretty cool. Yeah. On Saturday is their beauty shot day. They're going to be out shooting Forest Park and Tower Grove Park and the Arch and all. He said, this is going to be,
St. Louis shows really well.
It's going to be part travelogue, too, the way it's set up and shot and all the charming shots of the hill. You can just kind of envision it.
For sure.
And anyway, so thank Wild Man Pepe Kim for his crazy vision.
George, how did he get hooked up with Mendelsohn? Like, if I had an idea like this, I wouldn't have any idea
I asked him the same. And really, everybody involved, it's like, how did you get involved? There's some really cool dudes involved with this, but kind of from different backgrounds. And he's from L.A. and he's from here and a couple guys from St. Louis. It was through some third party that they said, this is something that Barry Mendelsohn might like. And I spent an hour and a half talking with this Mendelsohn dude. And, you know, he's 82 years old. And, you know, 80-year-old guys are not doing real well in the press these days, as you know. This guy's sharp as a tack, incredibly, you know, witty. And I just love this guy. I mean, we were, like, hugging each other after it was done. I'm so glad that these people are here. It's going to really play well for St. Louis.
Let's hold you over for another segment, but I have a question. Before we leave the hill, we're just talking about Missouri Bacon Company, and there's some kerfuffle there.
Yes.
What's going on with that?
When do we get off? 4 o'clock? I talked to the one of the 50% owner, one of the 50% owners, and I said, tell me the story. I got off the phone with him 60 minutes later.
Wow.
That's how complicated
it is.
It's
not simple.
It's not simple, and you know, you've got two 50% partners. There's nobody that's got any leverage. So, you know, it's to be determined how it's. I know. I hope that they can come to some sort of arrangement. But part of the reason is Missouri Baking Company is a cash only business.
And I know. So, I was there the other day and I'd forgotten.
And there's I know this particular Anthony Favazza, the 50%er, said, you know, well, if I'm going to either get in or get out, I got in kind of unknowing. I need to see. Let's show everything. Let's put our cards on the table. The cards are not on the table, so everything's kind of at a standstill because no one knows the real value.
Right?
Imagine that.
Wow.
That's why they do.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's part of the. But anyway, the you know, it's a beautifully run bakery. It's clean as a whistle. Everybody loves it. So it would be. You know, it's one of those hill landmarks. It would be a tragedy if something happened to it. So it's one of those to be determined stories.
Okay, quick break. Right back with more of George Mahey from St. Louis Magazine after this. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX, about 2:50 on a lovely Friday afternoon. Sue Thomas is here with us. George Mahey is here from St. Louis Magazine. So let's talk some Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Is it becoming more of a go-out holiday than it's been before?
I don't think so. I mean, it's really hard to gauge. I think the places that are open do really well. It's just there aren't that many of them.
Yeah.
I just put an article out, and it's listed by dine-in, pick-up, and dine-in or pick-up, mm-hmm. so places that do both. And there's 50 of them on the list, and quite a few dine-in selections. You know, some of them are brunch only. Some of them are dinner only. Mm-hmm. Some of them, like Bristol, you can go all day long, mm-hmm. you know? So I think that, it's valuable information because some people, you know, we got to do it at noon. Okay,
right.
I've never done it at noon, but if you want to do it at noon, that's fine. And some people know we have to go out to the Ritz and get all dolled up. Well, you can do that, too. You can do it at brunch $105 brunch, and you can do it at dinner. There's a prefix dinner for $85 at Casa Don Alfonso. So you can skin that bird any way you want to.
Here's what a St. Louis Hoosier I am. Brunch in my brain is all you can eat.
Mm-hmm.
It's Casa Gallardo waffles and chicken wings.
Yeah.
When people say it's brunch, but it's a menu, I'm like, this is not friggin'
That's
brunch.
Funny.
Yeah.
Brunch means buffet.
Yes.
Brunch equals buffet still to a lot of people until COVID hit, and then the buffets kind of went away. So now brunch is back in different forms. There's still some buffets. They have come back.
I'll put in a good word for my boys over at Capitol Grill. They do a nice job.
Yes, they do.
Good Thanksgivings.
And all those, really, most of the higher-end steakhouses are open. And I know, they are... There's a lot of... Anyway, look through the article. You can get, whole turkeys from...
Oh, that's a great idea.
Grace
that's
Meat and Three. You can get a smoked turkey. You can get a smoked turkey breast. I know Sugar Fire is doing the same thing. And you can get sides there. And a lot of them are, you got to pick it up the day before, which gets a little weird sometimes. But like a Sugar Fire, pick up that smoked turkey today on Thanksgiving. You just go grab it and serve it, there's a lot to absorb in this article, but I think any way you want to do Thanksgiving, you can do Thanksgiving. A lot of people just want to pick up side dishes and want to cook the bird. A lot of people want to do just the opposite, They want to cook the bird and somebody else, have it be a potluck kind of thing. So anyway, but it's more and more places I'm listing, but it's all across the board. I'd say more pickup places than dining.
We did last year at the Glover household. I picked up Capitol Grill. That would have been Tall Cotton.
Oh, my God.
I picked up Capitol Grill, but there was a miscommunication, and they gave me sides with no turkey.
Oh, my gosh.
So I went to QT and bought hot dogs.
To go with the sides.
To go with the sides.
Were they some killer protein?
That's literally what we had.
They didn't have turkey dogs, so you were really out of luck.
That's literally what we had. I bought like a dozen hot dogs, and we
had some great sides.
It was really fun. We took great family pictures.
I bet.
It was a lot of fun.
Well, just plan ahead this year. Do a little better, but it's a great holiday. I don't know what... I haven't decided what I'm doing yet, but it's a good time.
You said like noon is no-go for you. What time does everyone do Thanksgiving?
I'm a very late afternoon. It's 5-6 o'clock. Just when the sun's going down, I get
then
hungry.
You can't have your second meal.
Exactly.
Oh.
Yeah. No,
I'm 1 p.m.
Dinner.
Come on.
1 p.m. Yes.
That's what
Thank
the next
you.
Day is for.
No.
That's lunch, but it's still okay.
Yeah.
Do you still have two places to go?
No. I'm down to one. Down to one. I'm not going to host this year. I do like it because I could control my own food, which is totally snooty but true. So I will be going to someone else's. But I will bring a pie.
Yes.
So that's okay.
A made pie or a bought pie?
Oh, Dave.
Yeah, I know.
Who are you asking?
I know.
Dave,
I know.
That was a look right there.
Oh. Hell yeah.
And
I'm not getting any pie.
Speaking of pies... The newest Archie Eats, I knew you were going to ask me about this,
of course.
is about pies.
Is it really?
Yeah, we did last Thanksgiving time. We kind of did the whole thing. We talked about turkeys and we talked about side dishes. We never talked about pie. So, how to do a pie? How secrets to do pies? What the little secrets that are? And we talked to Pat Rutherford Patine, who is the former owner of Sugary Baking Company.
Oh wow!
And she had all kinds of really good tips. Tips for the novice and tips for the pro pie baker, and. So it was the big pie issue.
I love it.
You know what I'm going to do? This is going to make you cry. Get Uh-oh. Ready.
Oh, don't say it.
I found my mom passed away, and I found her recipe box, and her cherry pie was like the best, all from scratch.
Dave.
So I'm going to make it.
You got to do it.
Oh, that's really sweet
for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
good
great
for you.
Thanksgiving. Can I come over?
Thanksgiving and hot dogs and cherry pie.
Yeah.
That
good for
amazing.
You, Dave. And it lists on there everything you need.
Pretty much.
Okay,
all
good.
In her handwriting.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bring us a piece. Make two.
Yeah. Double up.
We got to have it.
We're pushing it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be lucky to get turkey in the door. Are you kidding me?
All right, fine.
No, so there are secrets to it that I didn't even know, and I thought I knew a lot about baking, but, you know, I thought lard was the be-all and end-all.
We just talked about that earlier in the show, yeah.
And Sue's shaking her head. It's not. There's certain kinds of lard that are better than others.
Correct. And cold water, you got to use cold water in a crust. Ice water if you can.
Yeah.
Does anyone put milk on the top of their crust when you're trying to brown it? My mom always did that.
Some people really? Milk do. And sugar. I haven't, but some
we've
people
done
do.
Butter in that. Like you just butter, do a little melted butter over the top. Yeah.
Butter and sugar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think pie is so superior to cake.
Yes, 100%. All day.
I don't know. I like a really good wedding cake. White cake with the white icing. Mm-hmm. I like
one
pie
of your
too,
Texas sheet cakes.
Oh.
I need to commission that.
Oh.
What if we had a half pie, half cake?
Well, I was just going to say, I should bring one of these in next time. Sugar Fire Pie makes what they call a pake, a pie baked inside of a cake.
Wait, hold on. I'm thinking about
Let's
that pie
go.
Baked inside.
I don't even know how that works, but I've seen it, a cross-section of it. And you can put any pie in any cake you want to. She generally uses a chocolate cake.
I had an idea. Can I do this
how
in a minute?
That?
Is that okay? I had an idea.
Let's do a pake.
So Nick's idea was thin pies. He doesn't like a lot of filling.
Huh.
And so what I wanted to do was make my mom's cherry pie, but make it really thin and then smash it down and make that the crust for a cheesecake.
That is genius!
Mm-hmm. That sound good?
That is
I just got my own bell.
Yes.
You're the hero we need these times.
At this time.
I thought you were going for a Pop-Tart. I thought you were going to crunch that thing down until it got to Pop-Tart
that's
size.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it makes sense, right?
Yes.
Crush it down so that the pie is your crust.
That's the crust for a cheesecake.
So I can do this?
Yes, Dave, I will buy that.
I will sell that.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.